Richie Neal is the Massachusetts 1st District Congressman, my congressman, a Democrat in office since 1989, one of the most powerful Democrats in the United States Congress. Okay, so Richie, let me start by asking you this. Who should Hillary Clinton pick as her running mate?
Well, my own choice at the moment would be Tim Kaine. I think that the reason that Kaine comes to mind is pretty obvious. It's in a swing state. That even though she's ahead in, this would likely nail down the state. He's very popular. He holds centrist political views, which I think might have appeal to suburban independent voters. And he is deemed by both sides to be very effective as a member of the United States Senate. And I also think that it speaks to a swath of people now who at one time aligned with us naturally that now find it harder and harder to sign up for the Democratic Party. When I came to Congress in 1988, in that election as Ronald Reagan was leaving, one of the things that I point out to people is that we had a majority of Democrats across the whole old Confederacy of the country, including Texas and South Carolina. And now it's very difficult for Democrats to get elected in that part of the country. But remember that Bill Clinton won Kentucky twice, won Louisiana once, he won Florida once, and that Barack Obama won Virginia twice and North Carolina once. So I think that as we look at the map and look at the playing field, much of the emphasis has to be on those states that are winnable come November. And I think Tim Kaine, by that selection, would augur quite well for us in the state of Virginia. Now, I know the response is going to be that maybe the VP candidate doesn't count, and I think that there is some legitimacy to that argument. However, I also would point out that one of Jack Kennedy's very important moves was to select Lyndon Johnson, and it put Texas in our column. And I think after 64, with Johnson's victory there as well, we've not won Texas since, and unlikely in the next round of presidential elections that we're going to win Texas.
Right. The other point being that Jack Kennedy didn't care for Lyndon Johnson.
Well, there was I think that when you look at Robert Caro's description of that relationship, I think Kennedy had regard for his legislative abilities, but it was clear that the Johnson-Robert Kennedy relationship was very bad.
And you don't lose a senator that way because you got a Democratic governor of Virginia. And in some of the other Senate cases, if you pick one of them, the Republican governor gets to pick somebody who's obviously going to be a Republican.
Well, considering that the likelihood that Democrats will win the Senate, you still will not, in all likelihood, get past 52. And I think that if you were to give up one, then you're automatically right back to 51. And I think that's a consideration by the Clinton campaign for sure.
The last time we talked, you talked about how Bernie Sanders had basically bloodied Hillary Clinton a little bit during the campaign or a lot. What do you do to bring back the Bernie supporters?
Well, Senator Sanders was at the Democratic caucus this morning, and it's clear that he has energized part of the base of the Democratic Party. And he was attempting today to point out that there's an awful lot of common ground with Secretary Clinton and that he intends to go forward by obviously saying he's going to vote for her, which encourages his supporters to vote for her. And I believe that as they get to Orlando this weekend and they begin to hammer out the final details of the Democratic platform, I think that there was an awful lot of common ground in that platform. So I hope and anticipate that Senator Sanders will be enthusiastic in his support of Secretary Clinton. But for the moment, he's mostly saying the right things.
But how did your colleagues sitting around the table in the caucus approach him? Was anybody angry? Are you allowed to talk about that?
I think I probably would hold off on part of that, but I would say that the conversation was robust. And I think that he answered many of the questions. And at the same time, I think that there was broad support for a lot of Barack Obama's positions in the caucus and also broad support for a lot of Hillary Clinton's positions in the caucus. And he attempted to tread that needle. So having said all of that, I think it's more appropriate to let Senator Sanders in the next few days and weeks to outline his public positions.
Nobody knows more about Ireland than you do, Richie. Let me talk to you a little bit about Brexit and whether or not there's now a call for the unification by some, the Northern Ireland, for one Irish Republic. Can you parse that for us and tell us who wins and loses?
Sure. Well, in the United Kingdom, there certainly is a significant fracture that has occurred with Brexit. The Scots, no question, will be arguing for another referendum on independence. I was surprised that Wales, which has done so well in terms of public infrastructure through European Union, that they voted to leave. The English voted to leave, but the Scots voted to stay. And in the north of Ireland, the moderate Unionist Party, the UUP, they voted to stay. And Sinn Féin and the SDLP, the nationalist parties, they both voted to stay by significant margins. I think it was 56 to 44. Mm-hmm. So I think that Sinn Féin will now press for a vote on independent status or directly joining the Republic or more of a confederation position where they might continue to align themselves with European Union. European Union for Ireland was very good, Alan. In the early stages, they received huge subsidies, which some might argue led to overconfidence. But they also received substantial infrastructure work because they got into European Union very quickly. And much of it is because they depend heavily on trade because they're an island destination. And I think that the Republic probably stands to benefit in terms of the relocation of financial services from London, which will be more dispersed, to Dublin and places like that and to Berlin. But not to miss the point that I think that the population in the north is certainly trending nationalist. It's about now 52-48. Wow. And on the island, it's overwhelming. But I also would point out that the Good Friday Agreement does call for a referendum in time on Irish unification.
And what about the religious aspect of all of this, you know, Protestants versus Catholics?
Well, I mean, I think that pluralism is the American experience, and we tend to look at it that way. And one of the difficulties in many parts of the world that nationality is the identity of your religious faith. And I think that if people argue that their national identity is to be instructed by their religious identity, it makes it very difficult. But I also think that in the Good Friday Agreement, it was pointed out that it was the greater number, which is a democratic tradition, rather than the notion of religious supremacy.
So in the Republic, in Ireland itself, is there an appetite for this unification?
Well, I think it's probably slow, to be very frank, and I think part of it is because of the costs that took place. If you would look at Germany, for example, sure, there are enormous financial considerations, so that there has been in the past a discussion upon what is known as an agreed-upon Ireland, where there might be a more confederation status before you move to the full evolutionary trend of unification. And I think as we look at what happened, there is no question that in the north of Ireland, they're going to want to remain part of European Union. And the phenomena here is that young people across Europe, they want to be Europeans. And you sense that very quickly when you talk about national identity. England in the United Kingdom, they clearly were concerned about what they see as a threat to their national identity. And they thought that it was being compromised. So in Cornwall, in England, they voted to leave. But again, the Scots, who are also a very important part of the United Kingdom, they voted overwhelmingly to stay. So I assume that in the North and in Scotland, there will be an argument that's made to rejoin European Union in some shape or form.
Always wonderful to talk to our friend Richie Neal, Massachusetts 1st District Democrat in office since 1989. Richie, when we come back the next time, we got lots more for you.
Thank you, Alan.